Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Cynthia McKinney. If her plane got in okay on time, Cynthia has been globetrotting, participating in a conference halfway around the world. She said she juggled her flights to try to make it back on time. You never know about those flights. Anybody doing flying these days, or even way back, knows that it's kind of touch and go at times. Depends on the weather, depends on all kinds of things. Sometimes planes arrive on time, so often they don't. Well, I'll carry the ball until Cynthia is able to join me. I hope she is able to do so. She was at a conference relating to Palestinian issues, and I have an article that will cover some of what she said at the conference, as well as focusing on the power of the Israeli lobby. I've concentrated on that before. I've written about it, and mentioned individuals who've written important works on the Israeli lobby. James Petras especially. Jim comes on this program all the time. I mentioned his a book on Israel in a past program, The Power of Israel in the United States. Very important book. I wrote a review on it a number of years ago. It's still a seminal work to understanding the Israeli lobby. And the Israeli lobby literally lets Israel get away with murder. And that's exactly what it's been doing for the past 2 days, plus all the other days it's been doing, or has done, in one manner or means, in one way or other, what it did to Syria. Overnight Saturday, overnight Friday, I should say, overnight Saturday, and in January, it did the same thing. Lawlessly attacked Syria. Syria does not threaten Israel. Syrian troops are not marshaled on the Israeli border. They're not threatening to invade. Syria has not attacked Israel. There has not been a Syrian attack in any way against Israel. 1967, and then Syria responded to Israel's naked aggression. According to international law, no nation may attack another nation for any reason except in self-defense. And even then, it can only do so until the Security Council acts. The Security Council has final say. Self-defense is legitimate. It's sanctioned under international law, but the Security Council makes the final decision. In the interim, a nation that's been attacked has the right to defend itself, and that's written in the law, it's right in the UN Charter. But if the UN Security Council says stop, then that nation must stop. Well, Israel never worries about international law. It pays no heed to the UN Charter. Obeying it, and obeying specific resolutions that were passed with regard to the 67 war. Obedience to those resolutions were conditional on Israel. Well, it goes back even further than that. It goes back to the 1948 war, Israel's so-called War of Independence, that Palestinians called the Nakba. Conditional on Israel's admittance as a UN member, were acceptance and maintaining the letter of the law on certain resolutions. Well, Israel absolutely spurns all resolutions it wants nothing to do with. It is literally a serial offender of international law, including UN resolutions. And many times it doesn't have to worry about a resolution that's critical of Israel passing because Washington vetoes it. I'm not certain of the exact number, but I think it may be 42 times. The first one was in 1970, during the Nixon era. Should have been. There should have been stuff before that, but that was the first one. And I know there was one in 2011. There may have been another one in 2012. I'll have to check and see. But it's over 40 times. The legitimate resolutions condemning Israel's actions, whatever they may have been, were vetoed by America supporting Israeli lawlessness. Well, I imagine that most listeners at least know to some extent, what Israel did in the last 24 hours. I wrote an article I put out this morning. I have another one all done. It's going out tomorrow. And I titled my article, America and Israel, Imperial Partners in Crime. That was my title on the article that went out this morning. I used the same title and I called it Part 2, going out tomorrow. Israel bombed an area in the Damascus, call it the Damascus suburbs. There have been different reports on what happened. It's a little bit unclear, but I believe a military research center was bombed. It was bombed in January. I don't think Israel did what it set out to do. It was bombed again overnight Friday into Saturday morning, and it was bombed again overnight Saturday into Sunday morning. Now, exactly what happened, exactly what the damage is, we don't know. We can only speculate. Israel claimed, falsely I would add, that it was bombing missiles. The January bombing, Israel claimed, and, well, the January bombing, Israel claimed it was bombing a convoy of missiles that the Syrian government was sending to Hezbollah in Lebanon. Well, that makes no sense at all, because Syria needs all the weapons it can get. It's fighting a U.S. proxy war. Well, Israel entered it before. It's entered it again. Israel is very much involved. The claim that Syria is sending weapons to another country, whether it's Hezbollah or anybody else, simply does not make any sense. Israel needs Syria needs weapons. It needs weapons coming in to help Syria defend itself. It certainly isn't shipping weapons out of the country. So to make that kind of a claim is absolutely preposterous. I can't imagine anybody would believe that. There's no question that Hezbollah is a close ally of Syria. The two countries border each other. Hezbollah is not a terrorist organization, which the State Department has declared it. It's a legitimate elected part of the Lebanese government. It's part of the government. It's part of the governing authority of Lebanon. Well, the Lebanese prime minister, not a Hezbollah member, I'm sorry, foreign minister, condemned Israel's attacks. I quote him in my new article going out tomorrow. Any responsible official in any country would do exactly the same thing. But the ones who matter most, the Western ones, Washington, the major European allies, the rogue regional states like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain, those states, Jordan, the U.S. puppet governments in countries like Libya. Haven't heard a remark from the Iraqi government, another U.S. puppet government. Haven't heard the condemnation of Israel. What we need is real action with teeth. I don't mean bombing Israel in response. I mean taking responsible action to punish an aggressor state. Now, can you imagine if Syria launched the first attack and bombed Tel Aviv, Israel-controlled West Jerusalem, Haifa, any Israeli city? Can you imagine the world reaction to that? Can you imagine not some very, very harsh responses? I mean, I would expect the response to be to bomb Syria in return. But you literally could enforce, you literally could institute policies totally isolating a country. You could enforce an embargo. You could levy all kinds of sanctions. You literally could suffocate a country so badly that you don't need to bomb them. Those are the kind of actions that should be taking place. You could expel them from the UN. Israel never should have been admitted to the UN because it never accepted the terms of admission. That alone is reason enough for expulsion. Israel should be expelled from the UN. Israel's officials should be held responsible in the International Criminal Court, the that's for individuals. The International Court of Justice is for nations. And there should be charges filed against individuals, against the State of Israel. There should be a legitimate assessment of those charges. And if found to be true based on clear evidence, there's no question they would be, then action should follow. And again, I don't mean bombing. I mean responsible actions that Israel has never faced in its entire existence, and it's high time that happened. It's high time that happened. Israel is a rogue state. It's a lawless state. It partners with America, same thing. Two rogue states doing the same thing. I would assure you that every single conflict, at least in the region, that America gets involved in or that Israel gets involved in, they are joint U.S.-Israeli operations. They are all jointly planned, signed off on. The notion that America was not involved in Israel's attack on Syria is absolutely wrong. America absolutely is involved. America supplies Israel with weapons that Israel uses, supplies Israel with billions of dollars in aid every year that Israel applies to weapons, to wage war, to commit war crimes and crimes against humanity. America and Israel are joined at the hip. And they absolutely are involved in the aggression. That's the only thing to call it. Naked aggression against a non-belligerent country. On top of Washington's war on Syria that's been raging over 2 years. Washington's war on Syria. It was planned many years ago, at least around the 9/11 period. I think it goes back well into the 1990s. It may have been two decades ago, but it certainly has been on the books to go to war with Syria in one way or another, at least over the past decade or longer. There's no question about it. The same is true for many other countries in the region. And the issue is very simple. Washington tolerates no independent states. It wants pro-Western ones. It wants puppet ones. It's got a puppet state in Afghanistan. Karzai, so-called president, stalled by Washington, a manipulated election to put him in office, but the election was meaningless. He's a former CIA asset. He's a former he was either an official, but he was connected to Union Oil Company. I don't remember what his position was. He's an American stooge. The same thing is true in Iraq. Same thing is true in Libya. And all three countries are not only charnel houses, they're totally destabilized, violent, out of control. Look what's been going on in Iraq for the past number of days. Dozens and dozens of people killed. You don't hear much about it in the U.S. media. You hear practically nothing about it. You get no U.S. television reports. You get an occasional story in a mainstream paper, like the New York Times or the Washington Post, but not too much. And they don't tell the story the way it should be told. There's a rogue government installed by Washington. The Iraqi people are upset about it. They're doing something about it. Unfortunately, innocent people get hurt the most, civilians. So the car bombs go off. Dozens of people die. Happens every day, multiple times a day. Sometimes it's worse than other times, and this is one of those times. Syria has been on the boil since early 2011. Washington instigated it, sent in its dogs, foreign invaders. There's nothing civil about the conflict in Syria. Calling it a civil war is absolutely false. It is not a civil war. It's a foreign invasion. You've got death squads that were recruited by Washington either directly or indirectly through their regional allies, through their NATO allies, Turkey, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and the regional states, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Jordan. CIA agents probably are inside Syria, but they certainly are inside Turkey. Even the New York Times wrote about it in the middle of 2012. And I quoted the Times when they did, and I quoted them again in an article that went out either yesterday or the day before. The Times completely forgot that the CIA is in Turkey funneling weapons across border to these death squads so they can murder Syrian civilians and blame it on the Assad government. Well, the ones that are being murdered are the loyalists, the Alawites, the people who support the Assad government. Can you imagine a nation killing its own supporters? Of course not. Well, that's going on the ground. At the same time, these death squads in Syria are not doing so well. They are getting wrecked by the Syrian military. Well, it's unsurprising. You know, they get a certain minimal amount of training. They get a certain, they're armed, they're well armed. And some of the weapons are pretty destructive, plus all the explosives they're getting. So they can blow up buildings and do things like that. All the car bombs that go off, the buildings that are attacked, and terrible damage is done. You got villages where people are massacred, and the Syrian government is wrongfully blamed for what these death squads do. But they're no match for the Syrian military. They don't have an air force. That's the key thing. They don't have an air force. The same thing was true in Libya in 2011. You had the same type death squads on the ground, foreign invaders. They were no match for a much less potent Gaddafi military. The Syrian military is much stronger than what Gaddafi had. But in Libya, they were no match for them until they got an air force. And that made the difference. And the Air Force was Washington-led NATO. And that's what I see coming in Syria. Hasn't happened yet. It could come any time. And I speculated, I don't know, but I wondered if in hindsight we'll look back at Israel's attack Friday, Saturday, Saturday, Sunday, and say that was the moment when full-scale intervention began. We can't say it now because we don't know, but it's possible that those attacks were the first steps taken toward full-scale intervention. It would bring NATO into it. Israel is not an official, a nominal NATO member, but it is a partner country. It's a Mediterranean alliance country. It's a de facto NATO member. That's what I'm trying to say. And if Israel gets in a war where both sides are shooting at each other, I guarantee you Washington will be in it and other NATO countries will be in it. I don't think Syria will fall for that trap. As bad as things are now, Syria does not want Washington bombing them. Syria knows well what Washington and NATO countries did to Libya. It does not want that happening to Syria. Well, Israel, I think, is goading Syria to attack. I think that's what these attacks were all about, talking about targeting a convoy or a building with weapons Syria is planning to transfer to Hezbollah. I mean, that's absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Well, this is what the Israeli media say. This is what the U.S. media say. Well, don't believe it. Don't believe it. And then sometimes the stories change. You see version 1, version 2, version 3. Well, they can come up with any number of versions. The only version that counts is the truth. And the truth is that Washington wants to replace the Syrian regime. So does Israel, but Israel has a few mixed feelings about it. Syria borders on Israel, and the last thing Israel wants to see is an al-Qaeda-type government taking over in place of the Assad government. Israel does not have to worry about Assad attacking. But if you have an al-Qaeda-type government, especially an extremist wing of al-Qaeda, like this al-Nusra organization, these are the ones that are some of the worst cutthroats. They don't think twice about murdering somebody. I just can't imagine why that they would have any warm feelings for Israel. I can't imagine why they're wasting their time, dare I put it that way, attacking another Arab state when the real enemy is Israel. Now, of course, they wouldn't get any help from the West if they did that. But they're sitting right on Israel's border. It's pretty well defended. Israel is well aware that these elements could cross into Israel and give Israel an awful lot of headaches and heartaches and everything else. Well, when people are determined enough, they find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. and it's very possible that these types are going to make their way into Israel. So be careful what you wish for. On the one hand, Israel would love to get rid of Assad. On the other hand, it doesn't want something worse than Assad replacing him. So Israel has mixed feelings. At the same time, it's closely allied with Washington and the other key NATO states. Israel is very much part of this conflict in Syria. And Israeli weapons have showed up in Syria long ago. I wrote about it at least two times. Weapons that were clearly made in Israel. Plus all the other stuff that Israel gets from Washington. But made in Israel weapons showed up in Syria. They didn't walk across the border. Israel sent them across the border. And whatever I'm telling you, you can be sure that the Syrian government knows much more than I do. I mean, they're in the middle of this conflict. They have intelligence. They have satellites. They have allies. They know what's going on. They're following things just the way I try to do. But I have no satellites. I have no intelligence operations. I simply research online. I do the best I can. I try to get as many important truths out. They are important because literally we could get into a blazing war with Syria, and then Lebanon would be next, and Iran would be next. The entire region could go up in flames. We could see what probably nobody wants. We could see something that not only affects the region, but it could spread cross-border, cross-region, into other areas of Central Asia, other parts of North Africa. If Russia and or China decide that they've had enough because their own interests are at stake and they simply have to do something to call a halt to this, and I say that not only because of their interests in the region, but because they are the last frontier. If Washington knocks off every independent state, then those two countries lose their allies. They're all alone. They're two pretty strong countries. If you wanted to ally two countries militarily, politically, and at some point, a decade or two from now, economically, referring to Russia, Russia certainly isn't an economic rival of China, but it's growing. And in a couple of decades, it could be a very strong economic country. It certainly is the one country in the world that can match America blow for blow. China can't quite do that, but China has a nuclear arsenal that could probably hit any U.S. city it targeted. If those two countries decide they're not going to take it anymore, and they're going to do something to draw their own red line, I don't think they would have to attack. I think they could make it very clear that they simply won't tolerate America and NATO bombing Syria, bombing Lebanon, bombing Iran. They won't tolerate it, and they will take steps to intervene against it. If they say it in the right terms, I think the message would get across. I consider Washington and Israel bully states. Besides lawless states, besides rogue states, besides pariah states, bully states. What's a bully? A bully likes to attack somebody, whether it's a person, a group, or a country, that can't fight back. So look what countries Washington has attacked. North Korea, Vietnam. Well, they got fooled in Vietnam, didn't they? Central American countries, African countries, Libya. Iraq. Iraq was a pushover in the Gulf War. 4 weeks and it was over. 4 weeks. That's when Saddam had his whole military intact. 2003 war, after all those years of sanctions, Chicago Police Force could have knocked off Iraq. America thinks twice about attacking a country that can fight back. The same goes for Israel. China and Russia can fight back. Syria can fight back a little bit. Iran can fight back a lot more. There was a report in the Wall Street Journal on Friday. The that America upgraded its so-called bunker buster bombs. They could either be conventional weapons with huge amounts of munitions in them, huge amounts, or it could be a nuclear weapon of any power dimension. It could be a Hiroshima-style bomb. It could be half that magnitude. It could be 10 times that strength. It could be designed any way. The bunker busters are designed to, I don't know how that can be done, but apparently it works. How successfully against a real target, we would only know if it was launched. But supposedly they bury deep into the ground before exploding. Well, the weapon has just been upgraded. Iran has a heavily protected site, nuclear plant, commercial plant. It's not a weapons plant. It's a legitimate nuclear reactor plant. It's called Fordo. It's deep in a mountain, well protected. The journal implied that Washington can use this bomb and destroy this plant. Well, we'd never know unless it was tried. That's when the rubber meets the road. That's when the bluster gets separated from the reality. But anyway, Washington has these powerful bombs and can certainly manufacture bombs that can do enormous amounts of damage. Whether Washington has given Israel these bombs, I don't know. Washington has given Israel plenty, so they can do an awful lot of damage. The ideal war against Iran for Israel would be a joint war, Israel and America both attacking Iran. Could it happen? Maybe. It doesn't matter what Obama thinks. I speak in terms of him signing off on something, but he's not the one who really signs off. I think the Pentagon generals, probably, well, the embedded power structure has the final say, but the Pentagon planners, joint chiefs, and key people around them, they know what's winnable and what's not winnable. I think they have very, very serious qualms about going to war with Iran. Don't know what they feel about Syria. They have plans to go to war. There were plans drawn up to attack many countries. This is the way Washington operates. The war in Afghanistan that began 4 weeks, 5 weeks after 9/11, those plans were drawn up at least 6 months in advance, maybe a year in advance. The war was planned long before 9/11. Just needed a pretext to launch it. No nation launches a war within 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks after an attack. Can't do it. Lots of preparation is involved. Same goes for Israel. If Israel has a war against Syria in mind, I guarantee you it was planned at probably at least a year ago. Same thing for Iran. And then they update the plans depending on conditions. We're going to take a break and we'll come right back. Oh dear, it looks like Cynthia had plane troubles. I'll get her back on the program again. We'll take a break and we'll come right back. I'm host and guest today. Well, again, I hope I will be able to get Cynthia back if she couldn't make it. I know she absolutely wanted to be on. And as I said at the beginning of the program, Cynthia McKinney, I said she told me that she was juggling her flight schedule to make it back in time for the program. When you're traveling from halfway across the world, sometimes it isn't the easiest thing to do. But I'll get her rescheduled and I'll get her back on the program. She's one of the best. She's an exception that proves the rule about the people that serve in the U.S. Congress, in the Senate, and in the House. And she served 11 years in the House of Representatives. Twice the Israeli lobby got her expelled, got her rousted. Why? For supporting human rights, for supporting Palestinian rights. And she really does. She doesn't just say it. She means it. And she proves it by what she does. And she's proved it in Congress. She's proved it outside of Congress. So Israel and its lobby can both consider her a very dangerous person. So she's an exception that proves the rule. There aren't many of them, but she certainly is one. Here's an article I'd like to mention to you. It's an article on global research. Oh, this is a chilling article. It doesn't surprise me. It's about Turkey. Turkey is a NATO country. Turkey borders Syria. Turkey's been involved in this war of aggression from day one. And the article says, the article headlines, Turkish officials are using Syrians for organ harvesting. Organ harvesting. Injured Syrians have their body organs excised after being anesthetized to be later killed and mostly buried in the Turkish lands or sent to the border. That's a quote from the article. It's quoting the Lebanese Ad-Diyar newspaper. One I'm not familiar with. I'm going to have to look it up. If it's only in Arabic, I'm afraid I can't read it, but I will look it up. And then the next line is, the newspaper noted that the body organs of the injured people are most likely trafficked, or the organs most likely trafficked are livers, kidneys, and hearts, to be given to people who are waiting for treatment in Turkey, according to confirmed information. I'm just reading this. A French doctor confirmed to Ad-Diyar that stealing human body organs of injured Syrians in Turkey has actually taken place. A French doctor. The Lebanese newspaper pointed out that European scientific websites, known for their credibility, revealed acts of stealing body organs that took place at Antalya Hospital, noting that body organ theft and transplantation operations have increased in Syria over the past 2 years since the beginning of the crisis in Syria. No coincidence. One more comment. It added that Syrian doctors who have come from Germany, France, and Belgium to treat the injured have found out about human body organ stealing, but were prevented from getting any information by the Turkish army. Yeah, I believe this stuff. There were very strong rumors after the Haitian earthquake. I get my chronology a bit mixed up. 2010, 2011, January. Israel sent a medical team over. And there were very strong rumors, and I wrote about them, that Israel was harvesting Haitian organs for Israelis needing organ transplants. And apparently Israel does a thriving business in organ transplant tourism. I think that that's close to a name that it's given, organ transplant tourism. I'd have to go back and check. I'm 2-3 years out of date on that, and it just popped into my mind. But I do know that Israel does an awful lot of organ transplanting. To do legitimately is one thing. To do it illegitimately is something else. There are lots of stories about Israel transplanting Palestinian organs into waiting Israeli recipients. Yeah, I believe it. I absolutely believe it. Knowing as absolute fact what Israel does, the most horrendous war crimes, I put nothing whatsoever past Israel. It's got nothing to do with being Jewish or anything else. I'm Jewish. I'm sure the Israelis know about me. I write about Israel, Palestine often enough. And I've written plenty on Syria since the conflict began in 2011. Dozens of articles. And in the past couple of weeks, I've written 6, 8, 10. I've lost count. Anything that's important I want to write about, trying very hard to get the story right. If there's one side I'm on, it's the side of truth, the side of justice, the side of right. And if there's one thing I'm against, it's lawlessness, it's wrong, it's criminality of any sort, especially the worst kind of criminality, the kind you see when wars are fought, it almost makes street crime seem like a non-event. It's not at all a non-event, certainly not to the people affected or their families. But wars take ghastly numbers of lives, and the survivors also suffer. They lose loved ones. Wives lose spouses. They have no providers. They lose their children. They lose their homes. And just since 9/11, this is what's happened in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, now Syria. Washington bears full responsibility. Washington bears full responsibility. If Washington didn't plan this war and initiate it, it wouldn't be raging right now. I guarantee you, it would not be raging right now. The same goes for the other regional countries. None of them would have been attacked. Israel wouldn't dare attack another country unless Washington signs off on it. When Israel attacked Lebanon in 2006, mid-year, and I wrote about it, I wrote plenty about it, it was a joint U.S.-Washington war. Both sides involved. Israel did the fighting, but Washington was very much involved. The same thing was true December 2008, January 2009, cash led against Gaza, 22, 23 days. Gaza is still in ruins, large parts of it, plus being under siege, plus going through a humanitarian crisis, plus everything that happens when a rogue state targets you for not being Jewish, for praying to the wrong God. That's what it's all about. And, of course, the West Bank is terribly harmed as well. Terribly harmed. Every single week, without exception, I mean that, every single week without exception, Israel makes dozens of incursions into peaceful Palestinian communities. You can find it all documented in a weekly report on the Palestine Center for Human Rights. Palestine Center for Human Rights, or just PCHR. I check it out all often. Some weeks there are as many as 90. Can you imagine that? 90 incursions in 7 days into peaceful, nonviolent communities. People are injured. Arrests are made. Children as young as 10 or sometimes even younger are arrested. They're rousted sometime between midnight and before sunrise. Israel doesn't knock and say, oh, would you please open the door? They break in. They roust the family. They terrify them. And they do what they came to do. And they come in big numbers, dozens of soldiers. And this happens all the time, virtually every single day. Try imagining living in a community with that happening around you, and maybe you might be next. I write about it, and I still have a hard time imagining it, because so far nobody's broken into my home or rusted me. But it chills me when I write about this stuff, and it's all true. It's all there documented. It's been going on for decades. It's been going on since the Israeli War of Independence. It went on before that, smaller scale. But it was building up to the big war, massacre after massacre after massacre. And for sure it's going on now. Plus cross-border attacks. Yesterday we talked about how Israel occupies Palestine. Palestine is a legitimate state. It's been a legitimate state since November 15th, 1988. I think I've mentioned that on the program before. November 15th, 1988, when Yasser Arafat was in charge. Palestine is a state. Claiming otherwise is simply untrue. But its own rogue government, a coup d'etat government, not the elected government, only got around to recognizing that fact around the 4th of January this year. That was after the UN upgraded Palestine to a non-member observer state. Well, Palestine qualifies to be a full UN member, and it could get it as easily as I could snap my fingers. But not if you have a rogue, illegitimate leader refusing to do it. Palestine qualifies more than Israel qualifies, because Israel breaks the law and Palestine obeys it. I've got an article I'll put out tomorrow on Google. Google finally recognized Palestinian statehood. Indeed, and that's the title of my article. Google recognizes Palestinian statehood. They did it just a couple of days ago. Before I mentioned it at the top of my article, then I went into the statehood issue, explaining why Palestine is a state and that it has been since 1988, and I've written about that a number of times before, but I had to repeat it to set the stage for Google, and then I said, better late than never, Google. They recognize it. There's a Google site, www.google.ps for Palestine. If you go there, you see the Google logo, you know, the color, the multicolored logo, and on the bottom right, you'll see Palestine in small letters. Well, this got Israel very mad. A spokesman for Israel said, what right has Google got to peddle in international affairs? Something like that. I've got the quote in my article. Well, you know, America, at least constitutionally, at least so far, I should say everything about America so far in terms of our rights. We have the right under the First Amendment to a free expression, free press, so on and so forth. So Google can say anything it wants to say. I can say anything I want to say. Anybody in this country can say anything he or she wants to say. Well, that's the law. Israel does not have a constitution. It also has no fixed borders. No fixed borders. There's a reason for that. Because Israel occupies territory, occupies Palestine. It occupies parts of Lebanon. It occupies parts of Syria. And it wants more. The term Greater Israel is a very significant term. From around 1982 to 2000, Israel occupied Lebanon 20 miles inside the Lebanese border, up to the Litani River. Finally, the resistance against Israel's occupation drove Israel out in 2000, over 20 years ago. Israel wants to get back there again, not just for the territory, for the offshore waters that are oil and gas rich. There's a low-key dispute between Lebanon and Israel over who owns the rights, where do you draw the border. And of course, Israel wants it all. There is gas, and where there's gas, there's at least some oil, off Gaza. Well, Israel is developing it. It's not Israeli resources. It's Palestinian resources. You don't see the coup d'etat government running Palestine objecting to this, but they should. Because Israel wants to steal Palestinian resources, stealing its water. The reason Israel wanted to occupy Lebanon, besides the territory, was all their water, the Litani River and the tributaries that run off. It's been a good while, but I wrote about it a number of years ago. Water is a very, very valued resource. Israel wants to get its hands on as much as possible. So it's using the aquifers, it's denying Palestinians the right to their own water, plus all the rest. I can't imagine a more clear definition of a rogue state than what Israel is. Israel wants to get rid of all regional rivals, all of them. So they're knocking them off one by one with America. Israel got America to fight its Iraq war for them. Would like America to do the same thing against Iran and Syria, Hezbollah. And then it comes down to Turkey. Would they be an alliance? There's on and off friction between Turkey and Israel. A lot of friction after the 2010 Mavi Marmara massacre, where 9 Turkish nationals were murdered in cold blood. Murdered in cold blood. Turkey knows it. Israel knows it. America knows it. I sure as hell know it. And lots of other people know it as well. Well, there was a great fracture between Turkey and Israel. Apparently, it's being mended now. It could split again anytime. I think there's a bigger issue. Both countries would like to be the regional hegemon. So Israel wants to be that. I imagine Turkey does as well. Turkey straddles the border of the Middle East, Central Asia, Europe, the Middle East. But I think Turkey would like to be the dominant country in that part of the world. Well, Israel is certainly a challenger. So where that plays out in the future, who knows? They both have strong militaries. Israel is the only nuclear power, and Israel makes no bones about it, more or less, implied, that if threatened, if its security is threatened enough, it will use its nuclear weapons. It also has chemical weapons, it has biological weapons, and it's used them against Palestine, it's used them against Lebanon, it's used them in other wars. So the stuff that Israel complains about Syria allegedly using, which it is not, Israel uses them in all its wars, at least going back to 1973. And I include depleted uranium as one of the toxic weapons. It may be the worst one, because once you contaminate an area, you're not going to clean it up. This is how Israel operates. This is how America operates. This is how the rogue partners in NATO, with Israel, with America, operate. So you get great, great swaths of areas in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Palestine, in Lebanon, irradiated, unsafe to live in. There is this cancer epidemic in Iraq. Been a good amount of reporting on that. Not much on Palestine. I haven't seen anything on Lebanon, but there's got to be a fallout on that. Cancer doesn't happen overnight. Cancer takes a time to develop. And then you can never attribute it back to a specific event. But when you see it raging in far more intensely than it has in the past, then you know it came as a result of depleted uranium, other toxic weapons. Those are the things that cause diseases like cancer. And there's no question, the one place in Iraq where it's virtually confirmed is Fallujah. Fallujah was absolutely decimated. And I wrote, again, it's been some time, but I wrote about the cancer epidemic in Fallujah several years ago. It's got to be worse now. Who knows how many Palestinians suffer with cancer? And if they happen to be Gazans and they're under siege and they can't get the treatment that they need because the facilities in Gaza simply can't provide them. When something sophisticated has to be performed, then they virtually have a death sentence. So we bring it up to the present again. And the present, in my mind, is where Israel's attacks over the past 3 days prelude the full-scale war on Syria. And if so, it could happen days from now, weeks. It could happen any time. Syria has been falsely accused of using chemical weapons. That was the bait, the false flag, as you to put it that way, to get Washington and NATO involved in a war against Syria. Still a very active bait. It could be used. Supposedly chemical weapons, or people affected by chemical weapons, are in a Turkish hospital. They're being evaluated. Probably there'll be some evidence coming out that says, yes, these people were hurt by chemical weapons. And then the fingers will point to Syria, wrongfully. You've got that. You've got Israel goading Syria to respond. You've got that. There could be something following up on this to literally shove Syria across the line to give Obama another war he wants. I don't think you'll see U.S. troops on the ground in Syria. I very much think there can be a Libya-style war Libya 2.0, insurgents slash death squads on the ground, an Air Force bombing every day, supporting it. That's what beat Libya. That could probably beat Syria. Certainly could destroy the country. It's terribly ravaged as is. And as always, civilians are the ones that are harmed most. They don't deserve any of this. Syria deserves none of this. Syria is an authoritarian state. It's not a despotic state like close U.S. allies, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Jordan, Qatar, and other regional states, Kuwait, brutal states, especially the Saudis. They're the worst, after Israel and America, of course. And a lot of Saudi money is going into buying weapons that are killing many, many people in the region. Libyans, Iraqis earlier, and now Syrians. Will Iranians be next? Iran, another non-belligerent country, hasn't attacked another nation in two or three centuries, threatens nobody now. Nobody. Claiming otherwise, absolute lies. We're just about out of time. Again, I regret I didn't have Cynthia on. I really was looking forward to getting her comments, both from the conference and discussing what's going on in Syria right now. She would have hit you hard with comments just like the ones I made. But I'll get her back. And, of course, I'm on every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And I do try to cover issues that really matter most, the stuff you never get in the major media, the ones I call the scoundrel media, especially television in America. Television, I imagine, in all Western countries, the BBC is an abomination. It's an abomination. A public broadcasting television in America, an abomination. National Public Radio, an abomination. And, of course, the CBSs and Foxes and CNNs, all abominations. They lie. They suppress the truth. And the major publications, Time Magazine, Newsweek, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, when it comes to stories like this, they lie. They lie. And the kernels of truth are buried deep in articles. Most people never get past the first few paragraphs. You know what that music means? It's yanking me off the air. Do join us next week. Make it a regular habit. Tell your friends about it. Find out what's going on. Decide you're not going to take it anymore. Because if we don't do something to bring about the change that we need, I guarantee you, it not only won't get done, it'll just get a whole lot worse. I've seen it in my 78 years. We've gone straight downhill. I can't imagine how bad the bottom will be, but it'll be worse than now. Do join us.